Well, the current world's strongest man is someone called, I'm probably pronouncing this horribly, Halfpor Julius Bjornsson. He's an actor in the Game of Thrones as well. He is sometimes called the Mountain. See if you can guess why. He's 6'9" tall, 206 centimetres. He weighs between 180 and 220 kilograms, which is 400 to 440 pounds. He can bench press 507 pounds, deadlift over 1,000 pounds, and carry 1,500 pounds for 5 steps. He can throw a keg, which presumably is a big, heavy thing, for 23 feet. Now, you or I, probably, looking out, maybe Liam's still got a bit of training in him left, but we won't probably get to that sort of size or strength. But there's another sort of strength, a strength more important, a strength of belief, of character, which helps us make good decisions when they're hard to make. This is a God-given strength, which can help us stand up for Jesus in a world which rejects God. And in our passage today, we're going to hear about why Christians need that strengthening and what it can lead to. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've been in this letter to 2 Timothy. We've thought about the fact that we all have a ministry. You have a particular situation or particular relationship you've been placed in, and you can serve God by living and speaking for him. And last week, we remembered that in your spirit-filled ministry, stand tall and stand strong. You have a glorious gospel, so keep the faith. And here in this passage we start. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That be strong word is the same word we get dynamite from. Be strong, be powerful, and it's something that happens to you. Be strengthened, receive strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the face of those who might want to move away from biblical truth as a way of life, those who desert the gospel or gospel ministry, stand strong, Paul says to Timothy. We had some of those, do you remember, at the end of the last chapter. Stand tall, stand strong, receive power in the grace we have in Christ Jesus, and you will be able to endure. We're going to think of this in a couple of ways today. We're going to think about being strong as a link in a chain, and being strong to endure as a good soldier. So first of all, be strengthened as you can be a reliable link in a chain, passing on the gospel. So verse 2, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. There's a chain there. And you all know, if you've had to do with chains, chains are only as strong as their weakest link. You can have great big thick links of iron and stainless steel and all sorts of material. But if you've got one in the middle, made of cooked spaghetti tied in a knot, say, pull that chain and it'll go, won't it? That weakest link is what breaks. Well, notice the chain of links here. Paul hears from Jesus. Paul passes on to Timothy and other witnesses. He tells Timothy, you go and find reliable men and they will teach it on. And so it goes on and on. Gospel ministry being passed on. Entrust these things to reliable men. Pass it on. Last week we thought about guarding the good deposit, but that's not just holding it on. It's speaking it, making sure there are teachers in the future. I guess it's a particular command to ministers like myself, leaders. Please pray for us that we will be doing this, passing on the true biblical gospel and seeking to raise up new leaders. I wonder who will be next that we send from White Waltham to be a missionary or to be another leader in the church. But it challenges the rest of us too. Think of parents or grandparents being watched by their children, trying to bring them up to know Jesus. I see again and again parents who don't come to church. They say they're Christians, they try and teach their children Christian things. But because their children can see they're not prioritising church, then it's the grandchildren who will then be lost. We need to be passing things on to the next generation. And not just down the generations, but also to our peers, sideways. Are you willing, are you aware of being a strong link, passing on the gospel? Well, what is this gospel that we are passing on? Paul reminds us a little bit further down in our passage. In verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. The gospel is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of God, of the line of David. And he has been raised from the dead and proved to be the good news of the gospel, that in him all may have life. The promise of life that we heard of earlier in the chapter. If you are here and new to this today, the main thing is that the good news of Christianity is Jesus, raised from the dead and King forever. Whatever you make of him and how you respond to him, that is everything. And I've been thinking recently about maybe running a sort of Christianity course of some sort. If you're interested in finding out more of kind of the basics, what does it mean for everything to be about Jesus? I would love to talk to you. It's my very, very favourite thing. This gospel of Jesus has power, verse 9 and 10. Paul the messenger is in prison, but the gospel is not chained. No, it continues to go out. God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. God continues to do his mission. Don't be disheartened at your circumstances. God continues to do his mission to save people in Jesus. The gospel of Jesus has power. And this gospel brings great assurance. Let's wait for the dongs to finish. Verse 11 to 13. It's an interesting, trustworthy saying. I don't know if you kind of paid attention as we read it earlier. There's a promise, a perspective, a warning, and a comfort as we go down. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. That's the promise of the gospel. Once you've repented, which means turning away from living for yourself and turning to live Jesus' way. Once you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, it's as if we have died to self and then we live for Jesus. And our internal life is guaranteed in Jesus. It's what we celebrate later as we come to the communion table. Jesus has done it. It's like he's a plane. And if you get into Jesus, if you trust in him, wherever he goes, we go. So as he went through death to life, so we go through death to certain life. That's the promise. If we died with him, we also live with him. It gives us a perspective. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. The idea of these sufferings, these things we've got to endure now, but glory later and forever. That's the perspective of eternity. Then there's a warning. If we disown him, he will also disown us. It's all about Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, that means we will lose him forever. And then there's a wonderful comfort. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If we have times of doubt and struggle, God is still faithful. He is still there, ready to catch you. He's still there with his arms for you. It's a wonderful comfort. If you're going through times of suffering and doubt, God will always be there. That is his character. So what a great gospel. Good news of a risen Lord with power to change lives, bringing great assurance. Be strengthened to be a reliable link in passing on this good news. Well, be strengthened to be passing on this good news, but also be strengthened to be a good soldier, enduring. And that's what verse 3 is about. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And there's a lot of language of suffering and enduring in this passage through to verse 9 and verse 10. Soldiers do not expect a safe or easy time. Imagine a soldier going out into combat, but he doesn't want to put up with loud noises. Every time a gun goes up, please do that quietly. Or he wants his home comforts with him. He doesn't like what it is he's having to put up with, sleeping in this place, putting up with his food. Or he's genuinely surprised that there might be an enemy out there trying to get rid of him. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, a soldier like that? They take hardship, risk, and suffering as a matter of course. And a picture of the Christian life is of the soldier. An old Bible commentator said, "No soldier comes to the war surrounded by luxuries, nor goes into action from a comfortable bedroom, but from the makeshift and narrow tent, where every kind of hardness and severity and unpleasantness is to be found." Similarly, the Christian should not expect an easy time. If we're loyal to the gospel, we're sure to experience opposition and ridicule, ready to share in suffering. But we have fellow soldiers. There's a great encouragement in being this together. It's one of the reasons why we meet together regularly on a Sunday and at other times, to encourage each other in the Christian life. We have an intimate relationship with each other. If you suffer, I suffer with you. If I rejoice, you rejoice with me. And so Paul says, endure together, co-suffer. We're in it together. And he gives us three pictures to help us with this. And they're three pictures which deal with particular challenges. So I wonder if you've ever felt like this. What about when the world has a lot of stuff going on? You say, "Dave, this going to church on a Sunday, this coming to a prayer meeting on a Wednesday, that's all very good, but I've got family commitments, household jobs, I've got activities and leisure things that I've got to fit in. Should I commit to church and to passing on the gospel?" And the dedicated soldier, verse 4, says, "Sir, yes, sir." Verse 4, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." Staying focused on Jesus as our commanding officer and not getting distracted. Now hear me carefully. This is not a call to give up everything to do with the secular world. It's not a call to give up everything else and become a monk straight away. But these other things, even though they're good, they must not entangle or become the main thing. They must not prevent us from standing strong and fighting for Jesus. For me as a minister in the Church of England ordination service, the bishop says, "Consider how studious you ought to be in reading and learning the scriptures, and for the selfsame cause, how you ought to forsake and set aside as much as you may all worldly cares and studies, giving yourselves wholly to this office. Apply yourself wholly to this one thing. Draw all your cares and studies this way." And I've been thinking about this passage speaking to me this week. Sermon prep and other works of passing on the gospel, kind of messy church and assemblies and all the other things involved, they take time. And I find that there are other things, good things, which try and distract, and I've got to work through a way of not prioritising, not becoming entangled, but doing things all in their right time. Graveyard issues, safeguarding issues, things that could become divisive or damaging within the church, as well as distracting. We trust God will use them for good. But please pray for me and others involved in leadership as we discern God's will and put Jesus first. And for us all, avoid entanglements and distractions that reduce your ability to follow Jesus in this world. There is a war on. The devil loves to distract and draw people away so they grow slowly cooler to Christ. Instead, as we remember Jesus Christ and the promise, perspective, warning and assurance of the gospel, we become willing to endure and concentrate on Jesus, our commanding officer, being strengthened by God in the grace that is in Christ. Well, that's distractions. What about the gospel content itself? When we just want to tell people that God loves them and leave it at that, do we need to talk about judgment? Do we need to talk about the cross that Jesus died on? Do we need to make demands of anyone? Can people just try to be nice? Well, in the next picture in verse 5, we see an athlete who competes according to the rules. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, God's law has not been abolished. It has been fulfilled by Jesus. So our faith in him leads to a life lived for Jesus. If there's no evidence from our lives that we are Christian, it probably means that we haven't repented and put our faith in Jesus. Now, again, hear me clearly. It's not that obeying rules saves us. No, no, no. Trusting Jesus' death on the cross, that's the one thing. But we have been saved to run the race, to live for God's holy lives. God accepts us as we are through Christ, but he does not leave us as we are in Christ. And the challenge is that needs to be the gospel that we share with others. We need to remember that there is a cost. That trusting in Jesus and living for him means changing our lives, our behaviour and priorities. It's not just a hobby to put on the side of our lives. But as we remember Jesus Christ, that promise, perspective, warning and assurance of the gospel, well then we desire to know our loving Father God and his will. We seek to live his way and teach this on for others as the best thing they could possibly know, being strengthened by God in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, well, what about when gospel work just seems hard? Dave, Sunday morning, all this work of enduring and focusing and running the right race, it just seems like a bit like hard work. I'm not sure about this. And here we meet the hard-working farmer of verse 6. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. This picture shows working hard, bringing a reward later. Think of that farmer. There's no exciting danger like there is for a soldier. There's no applause like there is for the successful athlete. There is hard work, day in, week out, to earn the first fruits of that crop. Interesting, when Bishop Ryle wrote about holiness, he wrote in a similar way. He said, "I'll never shrink from declaring my belief. There are no spiritual gains without pains. I should as soon expect a farmer to prosper in business who contented himself with just sowing his fields and never looking at them till harvest, as expect a believer to attain much holiness who is not diligent about his Bible reading, his prayers, and the use of his Sundays. Our God is a God who works by means, and he will never bless the soul of that man who pretends to be so high and spiritual he can get on without them." So friends, do we want a harvest of Christians growing spiritual fruit in their lives? Do we want a harvest in church of people coming to know Christ? We do, don't we? We do. And that takes hard work. But as we remember Jesus Christ and the promise, perspective, warning and assurance of the gospel, we are ready for that hard work, the discipline of Bible and prayer, learnt, lived, and shared, being strengthened by God in the grace that is in Christ. Reflect on what I am saying, Paul writes, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. We need to do the hard work of thinking about this, and then trust to God to give us insight. We've seen three metaphors, three aspects for wholehearted Christian life. Where do you need to watch out or change this morning? Focused dedication of a good soldier who pleases the commanding officer, not getting entangled in civilian affairs. The law-abiding obedience of that good athlete, training leading to victory, competing according to the rules, no shortcuts in our gospel. Or the labour of a good farmer, first to receive share of the crops. Are we hard working? These things are all hard. Without these, we cannot expect results. There will be no victory for the soldier unless he gives himself to his captain. No wreath for the athlete unless he keeps the rules. No harvest for the farmer unless he toils at his farming. But for each of these, friends, we rely on the strengthening of God, motivated by the love, power and assurance of the good gospel we believe in, of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Be strong. Pass on the gospel as a reliable link in that chain. Endure as a good soldier. And remember, Jesus has already won. The gospel is going out. God's faithful people are called to join in his winning side. Amen.